Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle, coming at you from Astoria, Oregon, in the Roy Robinson RV Winnebago Adventure here at the Lewis and Clark RV and Golf Park. Really cool place. Bruce Larson, Renaissance Marine Group, Joey Pyburn joining me, Matt Nelson back in our Seattle studios. And on the phone, log on to vortexoptics.com. That's where you're going to find some really cool stuff, including something called the Razor HD LHT. Good morning, Mark Boardman.
Gentlemen, good morning. How's it going?
Couldn't be better, man. It's so much fun down here.
Is it? I have to know. I have to know. I've been out of the loop for a little bit. Is it rocking right now?
I mean, yesterday was a little up and down for us. People caught fish all around us in the morning. There were little bites going on. We just kind of missed it, but we got them good in the afternoon, and it's just going to get better every day. I mean, the tides are kind of lining up. Wish you could be here, dude. You got to
come down here next year, dude. It'll blow your mind. I mean, the last time we were fishing together, Mark, I mean, we got some downrigger strikes, and it's fun. We caught fish, but you know, down here when you don't have a downrigger between you and the fish when you hook them, the rods go through stuff that could only be termed violence.
Yes.
I mean, they just get hammered. It's so much fun.
100%, man. No, that's truly one of my favorite fisheries, man. When a rod buries down there, it buries. Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm jealous of Talk Optics. I got to get it off my head now.
All right. So let's talk about some new products for fall 2021. I have never in my life seen a scope with a magnification range of 4.5 to 22 power. How did you guys manage that?
Man, this is a good one. And, you know, honestly, how our product development team managed it, I don't know. All I know is basically we wrote down a wish list. They had a wish list, and this is what popped out. And it basically is everything, absolutely everything that I could personally ever want in a long-range rifle scope that's going to be truly a do-all and also be exceptional for long range. I mean, this thing is a lightweight long range smoker, but it's also going to be good, you know, in the timber or short range scenarios as well. So a person that goes, maybe I'm going to hunt some blacktails and I might, or I'm going to be in the timber hunting elk, or I'm going to hunt whitetails from a tree stand. Great. You can do that. You want to execute a long range shot, extend your effective range, do some long range shooting. I mean, man, this thing is going to do it all.
Yeah. And for me, I don't typically shoot a lot of long range, but I wanted to have the ability to. I got a couple new Browning rifles. I got one in 6.5 PRC, and I got the new 6.8 Western. Those rifles, they're kind of built to reach out there and just shooting at the range. It's fun to go out there and stretch it out to 500, 600, 700, 800 yards. But I also, most of the hunting I do is backpack hunting, where I wanted a lighter setup. And this scope comes in at just over 21 ounces. Most of the long-range scopes, they're much heavier than that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's generally what you're going to see, right? So this is definitely a top-tier, alpha-class, fully-featured, lightweight, long-range rifle scope, right? Like you said, it's coming at 21.7 ounces. It's got an exposed elevation turret. It's a locking elevation turret. It features our RevStop Zero system, which is an extremely, extremely simple, easy to set zero stop. The optics are stunning. It's a first focal plane reticle, which, you know, in the field for hunting, I'm really not going to dial my windage, right? So it's got a capped windage turret. But with that first focal plane reticle, that reticle will appear to grow or shrink in direct proportion to your magnification. So if you do want to use all the data or the holds in the reticle, you certainly can. And that's really, really important when it comes to a wind hold, right? Because the wind, we can account for all the different variables as far as elevation, using your ballistics calculator, or if you're using you're coupling it with an optic like the Fury HD AB, right, which is a range finding binocular with the onboard applied ballistic solver, right? So that's going to spit out your ballistic solution and your range, so you know what to dial to for that long range shot. But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, it's really, really shines on basically, you know, any hunting rifle, but you can also do all the long range stuff with it.
Mark Vortex of Vortex Op. Mark Vortex. I did that
twice. We changed your name.
Mark Boardman of Vortex. You just changed your name and just help me out. Will you, Mark? Mark Boardman of Vortex Optics joining us this morning. And, there's a whole discipline to long range shooting. The wonderful thing about it, though, is not just the practice element of it, but the fact that it teaches you things about your rifle, about the drops, and you owe it to the animal. If you're going to attempt one of these shots, you got to become proficient. You got to practice at these ranges and make sure you're up to it. I know the scope is. I know my rifle is. But it's a discipline when you start talking in ranges in excess of, you know, 400 and 500 yards, which is with that 6.5 PRC. That rifle is perfectly capable of popping critters on out to 800 yards.
Oh, easy. And look, when they finally build a scope that can also pull the trigger and take me out of the process, then the critters are in big trouble, because I am the problem when it comes to shooting, right?
Absolutely.
And when it comes to practicing it at distance like that, anything out past 500 yards, I'm probably never going to take a shot like that on a critter or unless I have perfect conditions and I can't get any closer. But what it does is, like with my bow, I practice out to 100 yards.
Oh, wow.
Well, it makes a 40-yard shot seem pretty easy. Yep. Same thing with your rifle. If you're practicing out to 5 to 8 to 1,000 yards, hey, a 270-yard shot, chip shot, right?
Yeah, good absolutely, thought. Absolutely. I mean, and like you said, you know, it's the person behind the gun, that's a big factor. So you got to get that practice in. And this scope is a phenomenal, like I said, fully featured rifle scope. But it really is meant to be used in a system. You're going to have to get your ballistic data. You're going to have to use a ballistics calculator. You may want to, you know, get something like that Fury AB. You're going to need these other elements in the system to make this scope work to its fullest potential for sure.
And that's key. That's key, because you guys, the range finding binos, the new Fury 5000s are amazing. I mean, that's I never thought you'd see something that would range that far out. That is absolutely what. So I mean, that's kind of the second generation of range finding binos that you've got out, right, Mark Boardman?
So yeah, exactly. I mean, even my identity is wrapped up in Vortex Optics now. So I mean, we're synonymous, right? But you got the Fury HD 5000, which is just going to be a range finding binocular, which is still in the lineup, right? It's a great, great range finding binocular. And then you have the Fury HD 5000 AB, which has that onboard ballistic solver. It's got the onboard environmental sensors and things like that. You know, so a person can really get that real time ballistic solution from wherever they're at on the mountain. And, you know, it's just going to be catered to exactly the conditions that they're in.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right. Well, we need to get you back out here, buddy, and we appreciate what you're doing. I know that you know, it's fun watching the development of Vortex and how far you guys have come in a relatively short period of time. And we wish you luck. Keep in touch, my friend.
Nope, absolutely nope. Thank you guys, and good luck fishing out there. And yeah, I'll be living vicariously the rest of this Saturday. So.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Mark Vortex.
Mark. All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
All right, dude. Talk to you soon. That was Mark Boardman of Vortex Optics. We're going to pop out every quick break. Coming at you next, the critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as the Sportsman Sports Center, is brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
August is salmon time in the Sound. Puget Tropolis salmon anglers don't have to travel far to find solid action. Pink salmon, also known as humpies, are streaming into the Sound in numbers we have not seen in years. While the majority of the run is coming through Admiralty Inlet, don't disregard the hundreds of thousands that are scooting through Deception Pass as well. South Sound anglers are working over the Chinook, and with only 37% of the quota exhausted in Area 10, there's still plenty of opportunity left. Area 11 is at 65% of its quota and still producing quality kings as well. Need more opportunity? The Tulalip Bubble Fishery reopened thanks to a good push of Chinook reaching the Snohomish River hatcheries, satisfying broodstock goals enough to allow fishing to resume. In addition, Elliott Bay's in-season uptakes indicated that higher-than-expected Chinook returns will allow for an additional weekend of fishing opportunity in Elliott Bay, which is open now through August 16th.
Buoy 10 is at full speed ahead. The Lower Columbia Fisheries Control Zone, also known as Buoy 10, is open for business and at full tilt Chinook boogie. On the hills of last year's quarter million returning Chinook salmon, we're looking at around 500,000 returning Chinook being forecast to return this year. So in other words, it's going to be epic, people. The third week of August generally signals the peak of the fishery, and that combined with this weekend's softening tide set have angler aspirations and the rod tips held high. Chinook regulations are loosened up a bit from last year's shortened season. Chinook retention is open now through September 6th. Adult Chinook, both native and hatchery coho retention allowed. The daily adult bag limit is two salmon, but only one may be a Chinook.
North Coast and Puget Sound halibut fishing to reopen August 19th. Sport halibut fishing will reopen along the North Coast Marine Areas 3 and 4 and in Puget Sound Marine Areas 5 through 10 on August 19th. The additional fishing dates should allow recreational anglers the opportunity to access the remaining Washington sport allocation still available after the traditional season in May and June. The fishery in these areas will be open 3 days per week, Thursday through Saturday, until the remaining quota is reached or through Saturday, September 25th, whichever comes first. Iwako Marine Area 1 and South Coast Marine Area 2 areas will open to all depth halibut fishing on Friday, August 27th. An additional Area 1 and 2 all depth day could be added in September if there is remaining quota.
Coastal salmon update. Through the middle of August, Marine Area 1 in Iwako, 6,000 anglers caught just about 700 Chinook and 6,400 coho for over a fish per rod. Those coho have definitely showed up. Iwako's roughly 40% through both the Chinook and coho quotas. Area 2, Westport, 2,300 anglers tallied 690 Chinook and 1,700 coho for over a salmon per catch rod. Westport is 42% through the Chinook quota and 10% through the coho quota. Westport is now open 7 days a week through September 15th. Marine Area 3, La Push, 160 anglers, got 17 Chinook and 155 coho. That's still just about a salmon per rod, which is right up there with the best on the coast. Nia Bay, 350 anglers, caught 50 Chinook and 188 coho for a little less than a catch. Salmon per rod, Nia Bay is at 71% of that Chinook area guideline, but only 22% of the Chinook quota. Overall, through the coast, we sit at about 35% of the coho and 46% of the Chinook quota, so the ocean is going to sail right into September.
The opening of the U.S.-Canadian border land border has led to the loosening of the international marine waterways as well. The same stipulations hold that full vax and negative test within 72 hours of border crossing. Individuals must be 14 days out from full vaccination to be eligible. All travelers, including those entering by boat, must use Arrive Can to provide their mandatory travel information. Before or when entering Canada, Arrive Can is available to download as a mobile app, or you can create an account and sign in online.
WDFW offering youth hunter ed options. The department will begin to offer in-person hunter education classes on August 14th with options for full in-person and hybrid courses. The in-person and hybrid class formats are beneficial for all students. WDFW highly recommends in-person instructions for students under 12 years of age. These courses reinforce important firearm and hunting safety principles, hunting ethics, basic survival and first aid, wildlife identification, and conservation. Participants can sign up for classes on WDFW's Hunter Education page. Some classes may change based on availability and COVID-related restrictions. To help meet public demand, an online course is still available for students who must be at least 9 years old. Log on to wdfw.wa.gov for more information.
Sport Craw Outdoor Emporium Summer Sale. It's the annual event that outdoor bargain hunters have on the radar each and every August. The largest outdoor sale of the year, also known as Sport Craw Outdoor Emporium Summer Sale, is on now through August 29th. If you've been waiting to get that rod or reel, now's the time. Choose from a selection of pin spinning reels and get an Ugly Stick dry bag absolutely free with names like BOMAC, Pro Troll, Coleman, ProCure, Shakespeare, Pfluger, Berkeley, and the complete lineup of Sports Field Safe Sport Co. Outdoor and Performance Summer Sale has you covered. We guarantee our prices are going to equal or match anything other than that's advertised. You can find a lower price at these locations. We'll match that price. You do not need a membership. So for more information, hit sportco.com.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
We were all shocked with a tremendously sad news this week of Lorraine Loomis's untimely and really unexpected passing. She was the chair of the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission, and she took over that post after the passing of Billy Frank years and years ago. So definitely a giant, and she'll be she was always a big voice at North of Falcon. I mean, you and I were riding down here this spring to come down here and springer fish with Dave Lee, and we were listening to the teleconference of the North Falcon process get going, and she you know, was always kind of a guiding, you know, steady hand at the wheel with regard to that. So our hearts go out to
definitely she'll be missed.
You know, a lot of it's a big shock for the tribal and sport fishing community, definitely. And also with the wildfires that are going on right now, check your email. WDFW has come out. If you used a lot of points and got drawn for a special hunt this fall, WDFW is going to restore points if your hunt is going to be affected by these wildfire areas. And you know, that actually happened to me a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
One of my areas got burned.
It's always a gamble.
It is.
You give that tag back and then these fires go away, you might be kicking yourself. But you keep that tag, they may not let you have access to your area. So my uncle had a similar situation. He drew a Winnehaw bull elk tag. It was on fire. So he turned it in, got his points back. So it's just a decision guys got to kind of sit down and really think about and look at what's going on over there with the fires.
Don't just get your points back. Go scout.
Yeah, and you can do that from your computer. Look at the fire map and just kind of see what's going on. Sucks. Hopefully,
yeah, no, it's brutal.
We need some rain on that.
Yeah, we need rain.
Oh,
definitely. And you know what? Just be careful what you wish for, because once it starts, it don't stop around here till March.
So you were talking about the coho on the coast, and you know, obviously they're out there. Do we think? Where do you think we're at in that 1.7 million coho? You think they're out there, or you think we're over forecasted?
So. I think we're in a combination.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this before. And when we have rebounding Chinook runs in particular, they tend to be under forecast. When we have declining runs, they tend to be over forecast. This Chinook run is coming in over its forecast.
Yes.
The coho forecast, to your question, and it was driven by the OPI, which is the Oregon Production Index. And so that can be a very, very flashy forecast, right? And so there's a few parameters that they punch into this run model that spits out some numbers. And you know, preseason, I was talking to former WDFW director Phil Anderson, just, you know, brilliant guy, former chair of the Pacific Salmon Commission. And, you know, and he expressed some early season concerns with regard to that number and thought that the big coho were possibly a year out. When we started hearing Robbo's general feeling about the coho run in Southeast, they were late.
Yeah.
So what was the catch off El Waco this past week? And I just read it. We're talking 6,400 coho caught by 6,000 anglers. Now we're hearing about limits of coho in the ocean. And keep in mind, you can only keep hatchery coho. We're talking about limits of coho in an hour and guys finding, you know, 25, 30, 35. I mean, just tons and tons of coho out there now. So
it feels like we're still going to have a very good coho run. And
are we going to get 1.7 million up past Bonneville? I don't think so.
Yeah. you know, last year, guys were having to go out there and catch 10 coho per rod to get their hatchery fish, and it doesn't seem like that's happening this year. Guys are getting their hatchery fish.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hatchery fish out there. So
I think we've got an ocean that's bounced back, that's tremendously productive. The fish we saw in Puget Sound before we came down here, amazingly well fed. These guys down here are popping. They're so fat. They're just, oh man, and full of spunk. I mean, it's you got to be fired up about that. Even the Humpies that are coming into Puget Sound are in fantastic shape.
Yeah, I talked to Nick, and he had some – so they are still catching a few resident coho. He said he's cutting these pinks, and they're red like sockeye inside, which they're a little pale, a paler pink. He's like, dude, these things are cutting like sockeye, and they're eating well. I mean, don't think a fresh pink salmon – out of Puget Sound isn't amazing.
They're great eating.
Oh, yeah.
But pink's got a reputation because they're more delicate. They're not as robust as a Chinook or a coho, right? And we catch them this time of year. It's the hottest time of year. So what are guys doing?
You got to take care of them.
You do. They throw them in the deck of their boat and let the sun bake them without bleeding them.
You got to get yourself a Bomac Taito, just like what we did yesterday. These fish are coming out of the water,
right there.
And you grab onto them, and they're warm.
Yeah.
You know, they're like 65 degrees. We bleed them. Ice. As soon as they're bled, they go in the Taito. We ice them and get them chilled down. And all those fish we cut yesterday, you'll notice if your fish got warm, because when you cut them, you're going to see the meat starting to separate. That tells you you didn't get your fish cold enough. We had none of that.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. We've said it 150 times before, and I hate to see guys tie up fish next to the boat and let them bleed. You know, and I've seen harbor seals rip fish away from boats doing that. They'll fall. Yeah. They'll come grab that fish. But when you're bleeding, just get a bucket. Get a bucket in your boat. Put some water in there. Rip a gill and let them bleed out. Then ice them. Right. It's so super simple to do this. And if you don't do it with pinks, they're not going to be great table quality. But just like you said, if you get a pink, eat it that day. Bleed it. Ice it. They're wonderful eating fish. And there's a whole pile of them right now too. So we got a question before we pop out of here from the 512 area code. That's kind of interesting. Good morning, gentlemen. Question about fishing for pinks. What's the most important factor in trying to find a good spot? Time of day, tides, how fast the water's moving, depth. Are they not that picky? Thank you in advance.
Yeah, all that stuff. There, it's not time of day specific or tide. There's just going to be a lot of them in the Puget Sound. And when they're out there, obviously there'll be times during the day that they bite better, but you can catch them all day long. And the pink squid is always a go-to. Run it short, even 12 to 15 inches behind a white dodger, and tip it with some herring or put some scent on it. That'll help. And keep it in the upper 20 feet.
Yeah,
and
I would agree.
Roll around.
And you'll see pinks finning the surface.
You'll see them jumping.
And when you get bit, turn around and troll the other direction and try to stay with the school, right?
A lot of times when you get bit, you're going to – with pinks, you get one on, don't pull the other side of the boat up.
No.
Fight that pink because you're most likely going to get another one on the other side of the boat and double up.
And if you got a kid on board – get a little spinning reel and spinning rod in his hand and drop a little buzz bomb out there. I mean, and that's when you're getting loaded up. So next Saturday out of the Port of Everett, there are going to be some pinks landing on the shore because that's the Salmon for Soldiers Day of Honor. What's that? Stay tuned. Randy Shelton, the Salmon for Soldiers, joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. Next Saturday out of the Port of Everett is a red letter day, to say the very, very least. Log on to SalmonForSoldiers.com. There you will find the website of our next guest, none other than Randy Shelton, the co-founder of Salmon for Soldiers. Good morning, and thank you, Randy Shelton. How are you this morning, sir?
Well, I'm wonderful. Good morning, gentlemen, and what a great day. The fishing's going to be awesome, and serving our veterans is a great honor.
Well, as you so aptly always say, you know, thank you for your service and welcome home. That's the motto of Salmon for Soldiers. So for folks that haven't heard of the event and don't know what's going on, what happens next Saturday out of the Port of Everett, Randy Shelton?
It's total chaos. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. We've got a little over 100 boats. The event is absolutely packed full. We couldn't throw a glass of water in and get more people in it. And just to capture the size of the event, we're barbecuing for 700 people.
Randy, I tell you what, man, none of this would happen or not for the fine folks of the Port of Everett, just standing up and doing what they do, providing this venue for this event. I mean, you know, all the boats, all the facilities on shore, none of this would really happen without the fine folks at the Port of Everett, Randy.
Well, that's absolutely true, and they've been in lockstep with us for the past 8 years, and it's just been a wonderful partnership and relationship, and we're going in there, and we're just going to take that place over. As I was starting to mention earlier, at 5 o'clock in the morning, we get a lot of our people hooked up with our boat captains. We've got the rush hour salmon for soldier style, and in the end, we're barbecuing for 700 people this year.
Yeah, and the way you keep this whole train on the tracks is simply amazing, because it's such a huge logistical challenge with regard to getting everybody in the same place, getting the right guys on the right boats, and making all this happen. I know you've been at it now for 10 years. I think is this the 10th iteration of Salmon for Soldiers? I remember you and I got this thing off the ground actually at Bayside Marine at the Port of Everett a number of years ago. What year is this for the Salmon for Soldiers event, Randy Shelton?
Well, it started August 10th of 2013, and minus last year through the COVID. We're approaching our 10-year anniversary here for the number of events that we do. So the number of people that we're able to serve is actually pretty staggering. And if you come and look at our living room and dining room, you'd see firsthand what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about nearly 800 folks, veterans, their families, the fishermen that have donated their boats to take these guys fishing. I attended for the first time in 2019, and I was there early in the morning as the guys were getting ready to go out on the boats, and I stayed there until we broke every last chair down and got the garbage in the dumpster, and I didn't want to go home. I just, hung out with everybody. It was an amazing event. It's an amazing time. It's an emotional day. It's an amazing, amazing time. And I will be there, just hanging out with everybody and watch. I'm so excited to watch all the boats come in and see how many fish come across the dock. It's going to be amazing. The fact that we have all those pinks and the Chinook fishing is still
It is. It's still a
perfect,
deal.
Man. Yeah. These vets are going to go out there and they're going to catch a bunch of fish, come back with smiles on their face, and that's the most important part.
Well, it absolutely is, and I'll tell you some components of it that it really, like you touched on it, it's pretty emotional. We've got a contingent coming from Spokane, and some of these folks are hospice and last wish individuals that want to go one last fishing trip. We've got a bus of 63 active duty coming out of Soldier Readiness Unit out of JBLM. Brothers in Arms are going to escort them in with their motorcycles. And it's going to be a really wonderful day to connect veterans of all eras. And just to be able to serve that is pretty remarkable and a lot of fun. But I want to give a shout out to my wife. Without her, this doesn't happen. She really puts a lot into this.
You know, what you and Penny do, Randy, and really the people that are veterans that have served this nation are really what's right and good about America, and is definitely something to be celebrated. And you know, until you basically made me aware of what was going on with our veterans community, I had no idea of the need in this community for this type of outreach. I mean, here are these wonderful individuals that have defended this nation and done so as a member of elite teams. And now that task is no longer before them. And some of them find themselves a little bit challenged and a little bit lost with regard to their reintegration in society. And this is just a simple, really easy way for the anglers of this area to open up their boats for a day and invite these guys on board and say thank you and make them, feel once again part of the community. And that's why this day is so significant, is just kind of these guys are reconnecting to people that are passionate just about being in the outdoors. And that's really what's one of the wonderful aspects of this event, Randy.
Leads to relationships.
It does.
That
it does. Yeah.
Last the rest of their lives.
It absolutely will. And I really have to point out that there's a lot of sponsors, there's a lot of volunteers, there's a lot of elbow grease that goes into this. But ultimately, right now, when you put that veteran and or their guests on that boat. That's Salmon for Soldiers. Our boaters are the program, because that's where the interaction happens. That's where the positive happens. That's where the I'll see you tomorrow happens, because the see you tomorrow takes them out of the 22. We lose too many. We just lose too many. So we don't need to do that. So we're going to have a great time Saturday. We're going to have an awesome event. And I'm going to back you up to today. Today we're traveling to CQ. We're taking over CQ. There's a couple hundred people going to be fishing tomorrow out of CQ, over 150 veterans. That happens tomorrow.
That's amazing.
So here we
That's amazing, Randy. And what and so, you know, like you said, it started back in 2013, and we maybe had 25 or 30 boaters that day. How many boaters did that first?
No, you're right. I think it was just almost touching 40, but that's okay. Yeah.
And so from that, it's grown into over 100 boats next Saturday at the Port Everett and so many other events.
That's correct. We've got 35 boats tomorrow, and thank you to Mark Ostrich for putting that whole thing together. He and his team are remarkable. Yeah. And so now we're over 100 boats. We're at 104 boats for next Saturday. And I talked to Jeff Lindout at the port, and he's just absolutely a great partner, and we have maxed the port out. So how fun is that?
Yeah. Well, Jeff Lindout and Jim Weber and all those guys at the Port Everett, you know, the venue of this, you know, could not be more appropriate, could not be better for this event. But like, as you indicate, I mean, to have over 100 local boaters donate their time and their expertise and their fuel to take these veterans out is just, it's a wonderful event. Randy Shelton, we thank you for your time. We thank you for your efforts, and good luck, not only today, but next Saturday at the event, and Godspeed to you, sir.
I'll see you on Saturday,
Randy.
I
appreciate all of I look forward to seeing you there, Joey. You know, and to our veterans, thank you for your service. Welcome home.
There we go. Randy Shelton, thanks again, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. You take care.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonRV.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You got to be kidding me.
Really? Where?
It's coming back from the island of Tinian the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Ocean Journey Red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's Really? Where? RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
Welcome to Roy Robinson RV's Really Where here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. We're coming at you live and on location from Astoria, Oregon, and, of course, right in the middle of a Winnebago adventure from Roy Robinson RV, kind of a mobile, our mobile studio today. And I tell you what, the Really Where segment this week really has to be about Buoy 10. I mean,
for us, it is definitely
talk about one of the signature fisheries on the coast. One of, you know, definitely someplace that you and I, Bruce Larson, have enjoyed for several years.
Oh, yes. And a lot of other people are enjoying it as well.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, and that's the fun, though, to see everybody lit up on fish. And today, the Lipstick Salmon Slayer Tournament, some 500 people are going to get together tonight at the Astoria Armory.
Yeah, 350 gals that are out on the water, either now or will be shortly, doing their darndest to catch fish, bring them in, and it's big kick.
Our friend Jerry Spies is warming up the boat right now for us, and we're going to pop on down there, and we get to host five of the contestants in the Lipstick Salmon Slayer today and go see what the deal is. And with that, you know, that tide set that we had yesterday, I mean, it's looking like another solid day on Buoy 10 for sure.
Yeah, I think that lower river, the Washington side fished well, and the Oregon side fished well. It sounded like maybe it was a little bit better on the Washington side yesterday on that incoming tide. So, you know, it was kind of a bummer to miss the early morning drag up there this morning, but we're going to go down and get them, dude. We're going to hammer them today.
Yeah, no question about it. I can't wait. And you know, you're coming back again next week, because there's another huge event next week. Of course.
Next Friday, the NSIA's Buoy 10 Salmon Challenge.
Yeah.
Come back and fish again.
Yep.
Yeah. He's come back. Well, we got a pre-fish on next Thursday.
We'll need to.
I might have to get COVID again.
Yeah. Joey.
I gotta self quarantine on the.
There we go. You better.
There you go. I know a 30-foot space. You can do that. Yeah,
well, he only needs that little corner.
I just have a little bit of real estate back there in the.
Which, by the way, your side of the boat did really well yesterday afternoon.
It did.
Yeah. It did.
My side of the boat's got to wake up a little bit. I don't know what. I missed a couple strikes, and that was kind of it for that side. But
if you would have got those couple strikes, you would have been, you know.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I tell you what, that torpedo of yours yesterday was pretty amazing.
That was unreal.
Yeah, that was definitely a kick in the pants. So, you know, and then, closer to home in Puget Sound, we've got a wave of Chinook that reopened. The Elliott Bay, it's providing great opportunity in Marine Area 11 and Area 10. We got Pinks that are providing action up and down, you know, and then this week we get Humpy Hollow actually opens up middle of this week. So
that's going to be
hammer time for a lot of folks right there.
I'm getting texts from the Puget Sound. Brock Akers checking in from Marine Area 10. They just put a nice king on board. Bunch of guys still catching Chinook. Don't think you can't still get Chinook. There's a ton of Chinook in the North End still coming.
Yeah.
It's going to stay good right on through the end of the month. And the quota is, we got plenty of fish left.
Yeah.
So those Pinks are going to be around for a while. I'd be down there looking to catch some more Kings.
It's August. You got time for coho and Pinks yet.
Yeah.
But there's still some Kings around. Definitely going to be our game plan.
The great thing is we're not talking about where you need to go to find the fish, they're there.
They're just about everywhere.
That's what's super in terms of all the new boaters and new fishermen that are out there.
Yep. Bruce Larson from Duckworth Wildcraft Northwest Boat, thank you for showing up and helping us out this morning. It's
glad great. I could be here.
Yeah. Joey Pyburn, it's always great, man. Just enjoying the heck out of it. So you missed any of the show, jump on, hit the podcast, theoutdoorline.com or mynorthwest.com. The Apple iTunes app will help you out too. Follow us during the week, social media, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Joey Pyburn, at Duckworth Boats as well. For Matt Nelson back in our Seattle studios, Bruce Larson of Duckworth Wildcraft, Joey Pyburn, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.